Premier League is back after the international weekend, and there are some tasty matches, including Man City v Chelsea. There are six Saturday 3 o'clock games, so plenty to look out for our number crunchers, and we have our usual special guests giving us their unique take on football. Alex is back after his international break sabbatical. I'm sure he's been studying the form, DK.
I hope so. I mean, I'm looking forward to some good bets from the man sitting next to me here in the studio on this edition of The Punt. Welcome back.
Thanks.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm really looking forward to this weekend, more than I have any other weekend so far this season, because we've had that lull, haven't we, that is the international break. Nobody really enjoys the international break.
That's true.
And then you've got the Premier League football coming back. And on Saturday in particular, the two televised games are humdingers. Mm. And they're games that, from a betting point of view, is actually quite difficult, but from an enjoyment point of view, should be pretty high, and hopefully the bets will fall into place.
I'm hoping so. I'm looking forward to this first match because Jose Mourinho is back. Everyone's aware that Mauricio Pochettino has been sacked and Mourinho's come in. There's about a 12-hour gap from Poch leaving and Mourinho signing his 3-year deal. Mm. It seems like it's a snap decision, but it's been a long time in the planning, one would believe.
Well, it's 5 years ago, if you'd have suggested that Mourinho could take over as Spurs boss, you'd have said no chance because he was too high profile and Spurs weren't.
Yep.
And that's testament to the work that Pochettino's done there, that Spurs are now considered, as silly as it sounds, almost worthy of Mourinho. But also his stock has fallen a little in that time, but only a little. It's one of those things, it will either work brilliantly and be a marriage made in heaven or take a bit of time. We know that Mourinho's sides often take a bit of time to get going, then in his first full season, he does get going. I think it'll work. I'm intrigued, but I see it as actually quite a positive appointment. And I don't say that lightly because Pochettino, I think what he's done, and he is a fantastic manager. But Mourinho, he still excites me anyway. He's one of those. I know a lot of people, Derek, who we're going to hear from later included, kind of go, well, his time's been and gone. I'm not of that opinion. I think I still like him.
Everyone says he wins trophies wherever he goes, but what he has had at his previous jobs is money to spend. That's what Mourinho's had throughout his career, ever since he left Porto, really. It's going to be interesting to see the ego clash between Jose Mourinho and Daniel Levy, because Daniel Levy hasn't really invested in Mauricio Pochettino. Pochettino's done his best work on a shoestring budget. Mm-hmm. Mourinho will expect to have cash to spend, I think.
Yeah, and he won't get it this season, or it's unlikely that he will anyway, from what we've heard. That won't bother Mourinho in the slightest for this season. This season will be a getting-to-know-you exercise, basically. And if he can sneak into the Champions League, then they'll certainly consider that a roaring success. What do you think of him? I still think he has a place in the Premier League at the top table.
I was very surprised by the appointment, in all honesty. I think that, obviously, he's got a tremendous record, Mourinho, in club football. It didn't work out at Manchester United for him. They did win the Europa League under him. I think his time has been and gone, personally, and I will be surprised. Like, you saw, after it was announced that Pochettino was leaving and Mourinho was coming in, I was looking on Twitter. It was almost unanimous, the not disdain for Mourinho, the disdain for the decision more than anything of letting Poch go. So it'll be interesting to see. He's got to be on the charm offensive here, hasn't he, Mourinho? Because he's got to win the fans over, I think.
Yeah, to some extent. But the thing is, he'll get them defending well. If they defend well, they'll win games. If you defend in this team, you've got Son and Kane. They will score.
I think the one player I think he'll massively improve, he does so well with number 10s throughout his career, Mourinho. Mm-hmm. Started with Deco, improved him beyond all measure. Frank Lampard finished second in the Ballon d'Or under the tutelage of Mourinho. I think Dele Alli, whose career's waned recently, will improve under Mourinho. So I think he will get the best out of Dele Alli.
Ali's a bit of an enigma at the minute in that he just hasn't kicked on in the last couple of seasons.
Yep.
Mourinho will have to get the best out of him because otherwise Ali doesn't have a place in that side. There's so many things that he has to go in and address. Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Eriksen, all coming up to the end of their contracts.
Yep.
Do you let them go? Do you sign them on for another year? Do you sign them on to a longer deal? He's got decisions to make. I think it's a decent appointment, though. I'm glad to see him back anyway.
OK, let's spin through the betting for this match. West Ham are 16-5 to win the game. The draw 3-1. Spurs 78-100. Loads of enhancements on the William Hill website and on the app as well. If you think Harry Kane is going to start under Mourinho with a bang, for him to score two or more, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. I find the betting very interesting here because West Ham, before Pochettino was sacked, Spurs were odds against to win this game. Mourinho's come in, suddenly odds on for Spurs. Is that right? Should they have been so heavily supported in the market? Or should there have been this market swing in favour of Spurs with Mourinho coming in?
Well, surely you could argue that any manager change should warrant a market swing because you do get that new manager bounce factor.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. When I didn't look at the prices post before Pochettino had gone.
Okay.
But I did after, and then you can obviously track it back.
Yeah.
I was amazed to see that they were so short to start with, really. Because I came into this thinking West Ham haven't been in great form recently. I might try and take Spurs here if they're a backable price. I don't think they are a backable price, to be honest with you. So you have to look elsewhere. It makes it more difficult. Because do you want to sign with West Ham at the minute? You are West Ham's number one fan, who's not a fan of West Ham, if you like.
Yeah.
In that, from a betting point of view, you've been extolling their virtues, or at least you were early on in the season. But recently,
I think they've gone sour, haven't they? At the right time, because they're down in 16th now. Spurs are only a point ahead of them, admittedly.
Yeah.
But it's not worked out well. And I actually thought that Manuel Pellegrini was going to be the next manager gone. Yeah. I thought he might have left in the international break. But West Ham have a tendency to be loyal to their managers for slightly longer than some other clubs might be.
Yeah, possibly.
But I'd be concerned about him if he doesn't get anything from this game. I think though West Ham are an attractive price here. I know they are languishing in 16th at the moment, but I'm surprised at the market.
Yeah, I considered putting West Ham up as a bet here, but with the whole Mourinho factor, I'm swayed, to be honest. I'm not going to put Spurs up because they are too short a price, but I'm going to side with the main man, Harry Kane, because he just scores goals. It doesn't matter who's in charge of him, he will score goals. And he's a really, really solid bet here. To score first is a fair price as well. I'm more than happy to put that up as the main bet in the match. Kane to score first and get his era off to a flyer.
Kane to score first for Alex then as we get set for more Mourinho in the Premier League as West Ham take on Tottenham Hotspur. And now we'll hear from Derek a little bit later on. He's got strong views, obviously, on Jose Mourinho. But now it's time for Number Crunchers. I love this one. Some good bets here.
There's no fewer than 6 Saturday 3 p.m. games in the Premier League this week, so plenty of opportunities to delve into some facts and figures to find a bit of stats-based value. We'll start at the Amex, where Brighton take on high-flying Leicester, and it looks to be bad news for the hosts, as they've yet to win against Leicester in any of their 4 Premier League meetings so far. Things won't be made any easier for the Seagulls by Leicester's rock-solid defence. No team in the Premier League has conceded fewer goals this season, and at around the even money mark, Leicester look a good bet to continue their excellent recent form. Sticking on the South Coast on Saturday afternoon, Bournemouth take on Wolves, and we should see an entertaining affair, as on all 4 occasions Bournemouth have hosted Wolves in the league, both teams have scored. Only Man City have won away at Bournemouth this season, and Wolves don't have a great record against the Cherries on the whole, having won only 1 of their last 6 meetings in all competitions. Back Bournemouth to continue their good home form by winning, with both teams scoring. Meanwhile, top of the table, Liverpool travel to Crystal Palace, looking to equal the 3rd longest unbeaten streak in Premier League history by going 30 consecutive matches without defeats. There won't be much value in backing them in the 90 minutes market though, so how about a goalscorer bet? Sadio Mane has scored 7 goals in 9 Premier League games against Palace, including in each of his last 4. In fact, there's no team he has a better record against, so at odds against, he looks a good option to notch any time.
Really like some of those bets from John Gibby on Number Crunchers. Now let's get stuck into Man City versus Chelsea. Big game of the weekend at the Etihad. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Manchester City 42-100 at time of recording. The draw is in the betting at 4-1. Chelsea is 6-1 to win the game. Enhancements, a couple of these look good. Sergio Aguero to score 2 or more. That was 17-5. That's been boosted to 4-1. Tammy Abraham to score first in the match. 11-2 out to 7-1. I'm expecting entertainment here as well. You've got the team that have scored the highest number of goals at home in Manchester City against the team that have scored the highest number of goals away from home in Chelsea. Chelsea have actually won 7 straight matches away from home as well. I think a few people will be tempted by Chelsea at 6-1. But if you think Manchester City are still in the title race,
yeah,
they've got to win this game.
Completely. And you said people are tempted by Chelsea. I think I'm one of them. I don't think I'll put them up as the main bet in the game. But if you're even thinking of backing them at that price, go for it. Because they're a big enough price to justify it.
Absolutely.
Even if it doesn't come off for you, you will put an acca on over the weekend that probably pays, what are they, about 6-1, was it, Chelsea?
6-1.
You'll put an acca on that pays 6-1.
Yeah.
And won't think twice about it. Whereas as a single, people often go, oh, I'm not sure. It could happen here. You mentioned Chelsea's away form. Barring that first day of the season hammering at Old Trafford, they've been pretty perfect. Man City at home, barring Wolves, have been untouchable and have been for a year or so now, which makes it difficult because you've got two sides here, as you mentioned, who almost pride themselves on not being able to defend because they just stock up with better attacking talent.
I think what's happened with City is they've lost key players, haven't they?
Well, we've highlighted Laporte's the key.
I meant Laporte's
the key. He is the key. And without him, everyone looks shaky.
Yeah.
Stones and Otamendi as a partnership don't seem to work very well. Fernandinho's still learning how to play centre-half. He looks okay, but he's not world-class in that position.
Kyle Walker's stock's seriously fallen, hasn't it, as well? I mean, he's been disregarded by Gareth Southgate, who said it's only... He's played down the fact that he's been left out of the squad recently. But Walker must be upset by that, and it's disconcerting for him going into a major championship Euro 2020 that he's not been part of the setup.
Completely. Just let's go back to the last Premier League set of fixtures. Man City's defence away at Liverpool was, on paper, rubbish.
Yes.
And on the pitch, even worse. I mean, Angelino is a strange one. City owned him, they sold him with a buyback clause, bought him back, and all of a sudden he's starting in the biggest game of their season.
Yeah.
That can't have been a plan, ever. They concern me at the back, City.
He doesn't look good defensively at all.
He looks good going forward.
Yeah, he looked decent going forward.
They've got forwards.
Yeah.
That's not what they're lacking. I'm exactly the same as you. I think you can get both teams to score around 4-7 here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, on the face of it, it looks short. I think the traders have priced it up goals-wise exactly as I would have done. I thought I might get a bit more value out of, for example, if you do fancy City and both teams to score is only 11-8.
Yes, it is, yeah.
But I say only, that's one heck of a lot bigger than City outright. Mm. So if you are looking for City, that's the caveat that I would throw in.
I fancy Chelsea in this game. I think they're a big price. I really do go into the Etihad. I think they can upset a few teams. And there's one man that we want to talk about.
Yeah, Chelsea are tempting at the price. They really are. City just seem a little bit short, although they could blow Chelsea away. Of course they could. But I don't think defences will be on top here. And Tammy Abraham has had such a good start to the season. Of course, Chelsea came into this campaign not knowing who their striker would be.
Yep.
He has well and truly made a case for himself. And away from home in particular, he's been really, really threatening. I can see him scoring here. I'm going to take the result out of it. I'll just put Abraham up anytime. It's a fine price. Mm. I'm more than happy to do that. If you are feeling a bit exotic, Chelsea could be a bet. But I'll play it safe. Abraham to score at any time for me.
Abraham to score at any time for Alex. That's the bet in this one. Should be a good game as well. Man City taking on Chelsea at the Etihad.
Are you using your daily bet boost? If not, why not? If you're placing an acca with three or more selections, all you have to do is tap the black and yellow button on your bet slip and watch the price grow. It's William Hill's biggest ever bet boost. Use yours today.
On then to Sheffield United versus Manchester United. Intriguing game at Bramall Lane. The only televised game on Sunday as well. 4:30 kickoff for this one. Sheffield United are 5-2 to win it. The draw in the betting at 23-10. Manchester United odds against at 23-20. Again, loads of enhancements on the William Hill website and on the app. And of course, you can build your odds bet online as well. I'll spin you through a couple of these that could be of interest. Marcus Rashford, of course, in flying form at the moment. 5 in his last 5. For him to score first, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 11-2. If you fancy Sheffield United to win this game, for them to score in both halves was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. This fixture, most famous for providing the first ever Premier League goal scorer back in 1992. Who got it?
Ooh, wasn't expecting this. I don't know.
I said I was going to throw a quiz question at you, but obviously I didn't ask you which one it was going to be. Sheffield United.
No. 92. I'd just been born.
Yeah.
I don't look
it. You should still remember.
No.
No. Okay. I'll tell you at the end of the preview.
No, you won't. You always forget. Tell me now. You will forget, and everyone will get annoyed with you. Who is it?
Brian Dean.
Oh, you know what? Genuinely, he was in my head, but I didn't want to sound silly because it's from before my time. Mm. First televised Sky game in the Premier League, was that Teddy Sheringham, maybe?
Oh, I've no idea.
But he won't have been in that game, but no. I don't know.
Okay. It was Brian Dean, anyway.
Great trivia, Dave.
Thank you, mate. Let's talk about this game from a betting perspective because it's very difficult. I found it difficult. Sheffield United on a fine run of form. They were lucky not to pick up a point against league leaders Liverpool back in late September. Since then, unbeaten. 3 draws and 2 wins in the league. Good at home as well. But Manchester United kind of turning things round now. Marcus Rashford's in flying form at the moment. And I think what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants from Rashford, what every Manchester United fan wants from him, really, is for him to be more clinical. And there have been some signs of that recently.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second.
Yeah.
You said Manu have turned a corner. We thought that a few weeks ago, and then they went to Bournemouth and were as bad as they've been all season, really.
Yeah.
Granted, either side of that, they have picked up wins, but I mean, those wins have been in the Europa League against Partizan Belgrade. They've beaten Norwich. They've beaten Brighton. Games that they should win.
Yes.
So I'm not getting carried away with Manu. Rashford is massively, massively aided by the fact that Anthony Martial's back. Because, let's face it, without him, the tactic was play it to Marcus Rashford. That was it.
Yeah.
And he will beat 4 defenders and score a goal. And he's good enough to do that once in every 3 or 4 games. But apart from that, I felt very sorry for him. You could see him getting frustrated. Now he's got his mate back. And Martial is a danger because he plays wide. He can go through the middle. He causes problems. You've got Dan James, who's been a decent find this season. And the fact that Martial's back frees up Rashford and makes Manu as a whole one heck of a lot more dangerous.
Definitely.
In terms of a bet for the game outright, who knows? I have no strong view. It's priced up quite appealingly for Sheffield United, I'd say, more than Manchester United.
Yeah.
But not enough for me to want to get on board.
I expect it to be really tight this game.
I do.
I think both teams to score no is a good bet at 17 to 20. I know we obviously generally come on this show and say, oh, there's going to be loads of goals
well, you
in
want
this game.
To
We're expecting entertainment. But I don't in this game. I think it's going to be very tight. I think The job that Wilder's done at Sheffield United has just been absolutely exceptional. I mean, the fifth going into the weekend, which is just unbelievable, really.
They've been very, very good. They've only conceded 2 goals or more, I think, in 2 of the Premier League games, and they were against Leicester and Chelsea. So that gives you an indication of where their strength is.
Yeah.
It's at the back. They're very, very hard to play against. I do think they will have a dip at some point in the season. But you could argue they've already amassed enough points to not even be considered in the relegation talk. And well, they won't go down.
Yeah.
But they could have a very comfortable season now, couldn't they? They've really impressed me. They could win this. The fact that this is Sheffield United against Manchester United and we're struggling to put up a bet makes it surely a case for Sheffield United, given how good they've been this season. If you just said this at the start of the season and asked one of the pundits that was saying that Sheffield United play long ball football.
Yeah, and you couldn't have imagined that Manchester United would be odds against going to Bramall Lane.
No, that's what I mean.
Season, yeah.
But for all that Sheffield United are shorter than surely most would have made them at the start of the season, does that make them a bet given they've been so good? It might do. But like I said, I'm leaving the outright result out of it because I've tossed and turned over that one and it's tricky.
I'm going for Marcus Rashford to score in this game. I think if you're looking for a goal scorer bet, he's the man. I think it will be tight. I think the draw is the most likely outcome in this game. What do you fancy?
Similar line of thought, really. Rashford has hit form, but he's been massively helped by Martial.
Yep.
I'll go for Martial this time around.
Okay.
I think they are the same, if not a very similar price, to score any time. You said that it could be quite cagey. You may want to, you know, upgrade the any time price by backing those players to score first, just to get a bit more juice from them. But I'll stick with Martial this time around. I can just see him coming in off the left and nicking one, but it's a difficult game.
Okay, Martial to score at any time, or maybe to bag first for Alex in that one. Now, we heard about, we talked about Spurs earlier,
yeah.
And we are proud sponsors of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We asked Derek to be nice about Spurs. He didn't listen, unfortunately.
So Spurs have appointed as manager Jose Mourinho. Spurs fans are mourning the departure of the man who took them to the Champions League final. But they should look on the bright side. They're playing West Ham this weekend. Spurs are odds on away from home, and normally that's don't touch territory. But you've got to remember, this is West Ham territory, so it's more like don't miss. In recent weeks, the Hammers have managed to lose to Crystal Palace, Everton, Newcastle and Burnley. Two of those matches at home. That takes skill. I can't think of a reason why Tottenham won't win, which is possibly the reason they won't. League leaders Liverpool this weekend come up against former manager Roy Hodgson, who spent 6 months at Anfield trying unsuccessfully to turn him into Crystal Palace before pulling off exactly that feat with England. Hodgson once infuriated Liverpool fans by describing a draw against Northampton as a good result. That's because under him it was. I still don't know what it is this man brings to a club. Actually, at Liverpool, what he brought to the club was Paul Konchesky. That's why he wasn't at the club much longer. Liverpool are 11-4 to win both halves. I'm backing them to win three of them. If you think Spurs are good bets at odds on to win at West Ham, then what about Leicester at odds against to win at Brighton? The Foxes are 21-20, and I make that the bet of the century. The third such bet I've found this week.
I do like that bet from Derek. Leicester City going to Brighton, odds against.
I do.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. There were actually quite a few choices for Knapp this week. We'll get to them later. But I toyed with the idea that they're a tempter, aren't they?
As soon as I saw that he'd selected it, I thought, oh, I fancy a bit of that as well. But I didn't go for it in the end. I'll come on to the Knapps, as you said, in a few moments' time. Mm. But we finished the Premier League weekend with your team going to Villa Park to take on Aston Villa. 8 o'clock kickoff on Monday, this one. Aston Villa, a shade of odds against at 21-20. The draw is 5-2. Newcastle, 13-5. If you fancy Joel Linton to score any time, that was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. John McGinn, the man, John McGinn to score first, was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. He was my Knapp on the international podcast.
Yes, one of your many international guesses.
Oh, though. It was a complete guess up. 14-5, and he scored for Scotland midweek. Were we wrong about Steve Bruce? Newcastle United have picked up 15 points now, 7 points clear of the relegation zone going into the weekend. They're approaching mid-table obscurity, Newcastle, which...
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? 5 or 6 weeks ago, we thought they are bound to be in a relegation battle, the Toon. And it looks like, well, he's doing a good job, isn't he?
I'd still say relegation is a possibility.
Would you?
Yeah. Were we wrong about him? No. He still isn't as good as what was there.
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
No.
That is like replacing a lovely fillet steak with a Big Mac and going, I still enjoy the Big Mac. Well, yeah, but it's not the same, is it?
I love that analogy.
He's doing well. He is doing well at the minute. He's got... But then he's doing well on Benitez's tactics.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
In fact, he tried to do his own thing early on in the season.
Yeah.
And it resulted in pastings. The team play better with a five at the back. And yes, it's working. Good win at West Ham. Good win at home to Bournemouth. Things are moving in the right direction. For how long, we don't know. But the international break actually came at the wrong time for Newcastle, really. Mm. Whereas it came at very much the right time for Villa, who were pretty shocking against Wolves.
Oh, the 2-1 seriously flattered them.
Yeah, they were really, really poor. We previewed that game, and I think I put the draw, didn't I? I put the 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
And then I saw the team that Villa put out and thought, if I could go back and adjust, I definitely would.
They've not got deep squad, haven't they? They rely on a few key players.
Well, they've got a fairly big squad, but like you said, there are key players.
Yeah, yeah.
And from that game, Heaton, Engels, Grealish were massive misses.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Grealish is likely to be back for this game, which is a huge boost for Villa because everything goes through him. Mm. Newcastle have a similar player, not in the same position by any means, but Alan Saint-Maximin. He and Grealish are, if they're on it, their teams play well. And that can often happen without them scoring or assisting, but just making things happen. Grealish is a fantastic footballer and he keeps Villa ticking. Saint-Maximin gets Newcastle 60 yards up the pitch and wins a free kick. He buys a bit of time, pressure off the defence. this won't be a classic. Recent games between these pair have not seen many goals.
No.
And I was going to say Newcastle have got a fair recent record against Villa. They actually do, despite the fact that the last few times they've been to Villa Park have been, well, they got relegated there and they practically got relegated there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's a happy hunting ground by any means. But in recent seasons in the Championship, for example, Newcastle had a fair record against Villa. They beat them at home. They drew away. It's one of those games that could go either way. And as such, I don't think it's priced up quite right.
And looking at those goal scorer markets as well, because this is something I mentioned to you off air before we preview the game. 7 of Newcastle's last 9 goals have been scored by defenders. And you're getting some really big prices on the likes of Kieran Clarke, who's 6-1 to score anytime. Fabian Scher, who's 11-2. You'll be well aware that the defence has provided most of the attacking quality this season as well.
Yeah, Clarke is bidding for 3-3 now, and against his old team as well.
Yeah.
Scher's always a danger. He should be back from injury, although, well, I say whether he gets back in the side. Jamal Lascelles is missing now for a little bit of time. That is a blow.
Yeah.
Lejeune's coming back as well. But yeah, there have been goals from the defenders. Willems hit a cracker at Anfield. Yedlin scored against Bournemouth. That is masking, perhaps, the fact that Joe Linton has only got the one so far this season. Almiron's yet to score.
Has he disappointed you, Joe Linton? Because I thought, when I saw him early on in the season on TV a couple of times, I thought he looked a real prospect.
I think there's something to work with there. Again, you're following in the footsteps of Rondon, who was fantastic last season. And you're asking him to do the same job, and it's quite difficult to adjust.
Yeah.
Also, for when he played in Germany, he's playing as a attacking... one off the striker, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's up there and he's got 50 yards to the nearest Newcastle player. But yeah, I think the fact that the defenders are scoring is masking the fact that the strikers aren't at the minute,
yeah.
Which is fine. Long may it continue if it does. But the strikers do need to kick into overdrive soon. It's an interesting game. I do like Villa at home, which is sort of the caveat here. It does make it interesting. I think Villa at home will not lose many this season. That said, do you want to back them at this price?
No, I must admit, I'm not attracted by this Villa price either. I fancy the draw strongly in this game. I think Newcastle will go to Villa Park and set up really defensively and they'll nick a point.
Yeah, I think you know what you're going to get from Newcastle. They will sit deep. They'll try and play with pace on the counter-attack. I do quite like Villa at home, but they're a bit skinny here. The fact that Jack Grealish may come back into the side is a massive bonus for them. But at the prices... I have to take a chance on Newcastle here. Coming in off the back of 2 back-to-back wins, they do possess that pace on the break. They absolutely mullered West Ham with it. They could have scored many more. And if Villa aren't careful, it'll play right into Newcastle's hands here. So at a nice price, I'm going for an away win.
OK, Newcastle 4, Alex. I'm going for the draw in that one. Now, I can't wait to have a look at the Naps table. That's coming up very shortly. But first, with their best bets this weekend, it's the guys from the Football League, starting with Pete Farries and his best bets in the Championship.
My Championship nap of the week this week is Blackburn and over 2.5 match goals at 6-4. They have lost 3 of the last 4 games, Rovers, but they've all come away from home. That one game in between was a home victory. They're taking on a side in Barnsley who've got just 9 points in the league so far this season, haven't won in the division since the opening game of the season, and look in all kinds of trouble. The goals going in for Blackburn, going against for Barnsley, and that's the overs shout as well. So Blackburn and over 2.5 match goals, 6-4.
My nap seems relatively straightforward this weekend in League One, but don't they all? MK Dons at home to Rotherham United. MK Dons have lost 12 of the last 15 games, including their last 5 games straight. Rotherham away from home won 3 out of 3 in League One, and the last 2 games on their travel scored 5, conceded nothing. Could look for Rotherham -1, -2 to bump up the price, but Rotherham, they seem okay at 10-11 as my nap to win at MK Dons.
Swindon are the league leaders and at home to 14th place Mansfield they should be odds on, and they're not. Owen Doyle has scored twice as many League 2 goals as anybody else this season. He should be odds on to score, and he's not. All of the last 6 games, 6 in the last 3, 15 goals in the last 13 in the league. Now Mansfield's form looks decent, but it's not weak or weakened opposition or poor competitions. They've only got 1 league win in the last 6 weeks, Mansfield. So Swindon evens, Doyle evens, double them up. 19-10, Doyle to score in a Swindon win.
Nap time then. Let's get stuck into this. Let's have a look at these naps this week. I'm sitting awfully pretty at the top there.
You're a smug little sausage, aren't you? Yeah, you've had a decent run of form in the Premier League.
You're waiting for me to completely collapse.
Yeah, but then you start putting stupid ones up like you did the other week, and then you put another stupid one up in the international break and it lands, and it's so annoying. Norwich on the draw, they're away at Everton.
They are. This is a complete price play. I know that Norwich haven't looked good on the road this season, but Everton, I still think, are overrated by the bookmakers. And they're really short price Everton in the game. And I think Norwich to either go there and win or pick up a point, they're in desperate need, aren't they, at the moment? 2-1 it is, Norwich on the draw. I like it. And it is a complete price play.
Yeah, I had a look at it. I do think Everton will win, though. I'm still convinced Norwich away from home are just rubbish.
That's fair.
But yeah, I toyed with a few in the end. I've gone with Abraham to score any time.
I think Al Ross, by the way, has put this one up before.
He has, and it landed. Yeah. He's gone for that again. Pete with Blackburn and over 2.5. And Pete is quietly, stealthily
moving into position, he's in very good form, isn't he, at the moment?
The same can't be said for us three. We've got our own little battle going on there.
Gav's getting angrier and angrier by the week as well, isn't he?
He is, but I think he had a winner last week, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Derek, the only one in negatives, but I quite like his nap this week.
I do.
Leicester, I thought about. Yeah. I thought about, I know I didn't even put it up in the podcast, I thought about something pro West Ham just when I saw the prices, but
yeah,
I sort of talked myself out of them. There's quite a few games that are quite tempting prices, but I just think Chelsea pose a threat going forward.
Definitely.
And I can see a load of goals in that game. I'm hopeful anyway. And Tammy Abraham, you'd struggle to find a striker in better form than him at the minute. So he got the nod for me as the nap to score any time at 7-5.
Yeah, you know what? I love that enhancement that we talked about earlier. Abraham to score first in the game, 11-2 out to 7-1.
It's a big price.
7-1 is very attractive for Tammy Abraham to score first in that game. Alex, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone that's tuned in and watched the punt. You can, of course, listen to it as a podcast at audioboom.com as well. Check out all the betting markets, loads of them online ahead of the Premier League weekend at williamhill.com and on the app. And we will be back in some shape or form next week. It could be completely different personnel. It might be a complete different change-up next week. But the punt will be back next week. Thank you for watching, and we'll speak again soon.